1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Reading is our text, verses 14 and 15. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This morning I want to preach a message, kind of kickstart. Well, I guess the last one was the kickstart. But I want to begin really getting to the meat, if you will, of the series on the subject of the things that we believe. The things that we believe. And so along with this text, you can hold your place there. Go with me to John chapter 17 and verse 17. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus says here, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So I want to begin that with the things that we believe with a foundational subject, and that is the Bible being our only rule of faith and practice. As you read through, like I have, various statements of faith and various books on systematic theology, you'll find that some of them begin with the existence of God. Others of them begin with this subject, the subject of the Bible. And really, it's kind of hard to know where to begin, because you could begin with either one. So the reality is, we wouldn't have the Bible were it not for God, but we wouldn't know about God if it weren't for the Bible. When you think about God and who He is, we know that the Book of Romans tells us that even the heathen are without excuse because nature itself speaks of him. But understand that nature is limited. The heathen in the jungles of South America, the natives of Papua New Guinea, those running around in Africa, even the Native Americans who were here in the woodlands and those sorts of things, they could look at the world around them and understand that there is God. But they couldn't discern or understand from the things around them who that God is. They couldn't see the creation around them and understand anything about Jesus Christ or how to please Him or how to worship Him. You see, those answers are only to be found within this book, God's revelation. When Paul wrote to Timothy there in our text, There was only one church. Things were different in that day than what there are now. Now there are many churches, but still there's only one true kind of church. And as he wrote, he said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And of course, there in John 17, 17, we find that God's word is truth. As pillars that bore inscriptions on the mighty buildings in the ancient world, so it is that the church supports and maintains the truth. Amen. The church that Jesus built, the true church, This, we are not the author of the truth, but we received the truth from God. And we've been given His truth. And we're the only ones on earth with the authority to publish and proclaim this truth. This is what sets us apart from the rest of the world, you see. It doesn't mean that you won't find pieces of truth other places. But what I am saying is that this is a Baptist distinctive. This is one of the things that we believe as Baptists, that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. In his book, Why I Am a Baptist, H. Boyce Taylor said this: if it isn't in the Bible, it isn't Baptist doctrine. But if it is Baptist doctrine, you can find it in the Bible. You see. So when we use words like Baptist baptism or Bible baptism, it's the same thing. When we talk about the church, we mean the church as defined by the Word of God. We mean a Baptist church, you see. I love to read through history, and you know, I love to read what those who have gone before us have written, but I also love to read what our enemies wrote about us. And one of the things that our enemies could never figure out is how in the world could a bunch of churches scattered throughout different parts of the world believe nearly the same thing and not have a pope or a leader put in charge of them? How in the world could they believe the same thing and not have a central office or a board to direct them? Well, the reason is that we were directed by the Lord Jesus Christ in and through His Word. And do not we see it the same way today? That the Lord's churches today believe nearly the same thing, even though there's no central office or dictator to tell us what to believe. And it is intriguing to me, too, that even through the Protestant Reformation, that those guys would cry out, sola scriptura, meaning by scripture alone. And that's a good rallying cry, but oftentimes they fell short. But I tell you, when they did try to follow that, they came very, very close, oftentimes lining up with some of the things that we believed. I believe it was Wycliffe, one of the translators of the Bible very early on, 1500s, he wrote a very strong defense of baptism for believers only. Was he a Baptist? I don't know. But I do know this. He was translating a Baptist book. You can't read the Bible, study it, and proclaim it, and come up with anything except believer's baptism. And so those guys that said sola scriptura and then came out with infant baptism or practiced infant baptism, they weren't really practicing what they preached. But by God's grace, we find that Baptists have always held on to the truth of the Bible being our only rule of faith and practice. In the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, the scripture back there tells us, and we're reminded of this, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Truth is so precious. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what Jesus said. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Don't compromise. Don't sell out. Oh, there have been so many who have sold out, but the Lord's churches need not to sell out. You know, the Bible is and must always be our rule of faith and practice. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're told here, Timothy's reminded, and we also need to be reminded sometimes to continue in the things which we've heard and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. They're on solid ground, beloved. These things, these doctrines, these truths. From a child, Timothy had known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, every bit of it. Genesis all the way through. Keep in mind that when Paul wrote this, much of the New Testament wasn't even done yet. The scriptures that Timothy knew from a child, those were the Old Testament scriptures. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Oh, we hear so much people talking about that they don't want to hear doctrine. That they don't preach doctrine. That they don't. That's crazy talk. That word doctrine actually means teaching. Or that which is taught. That which is. That's something that's absolutely necessary for the growth of the believer. And right doctrine is necessary for right practice. And our doctrine, it doesn't come from some pope. From some central location. It doesn't even come from your pastor. It comes from the Word of God. That's where it comes from. Even as we talk about and think about the great statements of faith and the great systematic theologies, it doesn't come from there either. T.P. Simmons, Cobb, and those fellows, they wrote some great books of Bible doctrine. But where did they get it? They got it from the Bible. And if they didn't, it was wrong, right? It was wrong. Yeah. Acts chapter 5. Look here what it says. Acts 5 and verse 28. Saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh, wouldn't that be a great accusation if they said, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, you have filled Brantley County with your doctrine. You filled Glenn County with your doctrine. Like I said, there's some folks that believe some of the same things we do. I guarantee you, you can go. And I know this is true because I'm still in contact with some of the folks up in Ohio that when that church disbanded, they're looking for other churches. But listen, you can go to other places and you can find some things that are similar to what we believe. And I know it's true too because I've got some of their books and some of their writings. I rejoice when I hear somebody preaching the doctrines of grace. And I love it when we can agree on the truths of some of those things. What a disappointment it is when we find out that they believe some odd things about church or baptism. What a disappointment it is when you hear a man preach a solid doctrinal message about the sovereignty of God and then they ruin it in the last 5 minutes of the service. So they beg people to do some work to be saved. Sometimes you'll come across people that will use the same terminology that we use. And they'll talk about salvation and election and they'll use words, but then when you begin to get definitions of those words, you find that they've changed the meanings of them. The so-called Jehovah's Witnesses are real good about that. They've changed the meanings behind the words. The Mormons, they're real tricky. They'll send you a free King James Bible. But buddy, your name will end up on a list and then they'll come and they'll preach some bad doctrine to you. Second Timothy chapter 4. So we kind of go back there where we left off a while ago. Second Timothy chapter 4. After he done told him to continue in the things that he learned and been assured of. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. God's word is where it's at. And he tells him, you've got to know God's word. You've got to continue in it. But you've got to do something with it. And that means preaching it. Now he says the time's coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, many false teachers. Turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. The further a person goes away from the truth of God's word, the further a society, whether it's a church or a country, goes away from God's word, the more that they will believe fables. And the crazier the fables that they'll be. You want to believe something? Or you want to see how ridiculous people can get? Go into a museum sometime and look at the way that they have their museum set up. And so, the fossils of, and me and the kids did this in Ohio. We went into, and they had fossils of sea creatures that were found in Ohio. And so, different kinds of sea creatures found in Ohio. I look at these things and I'm thinking, wow, this is evidence for a worldwide flood that happened. Ohio was underwater, worldwide flood. What's their explanation? Anything except a worldwide flood. You know, and then you get into looking at some of the crazy things that they have to say about the beginning of the earth and the beginning of life, right? So how did life begin? Well, they haven't ever been able to figure out how there was something from nothing. And so now they're saying that maybe the earth was seeded by space aliens. Some of these places are trying to say, oh, wait a minute. Why can't you just stop and say, God did it? But the further they get away from God, the more they're apt to believe some crazy, far-fetched stories. The same thing's happening in some of these other organizations. They call themselves churches still. They're chasing after these. They can't even define marriage by what God has defined it by. Going after fables. And not only fables, but abominations. Those who neglect the word of God, you turn to fables in their preaching, in their creeds, their confessions, in their practices, and in their way of living. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and continued about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, we're warned not to be like children. What's one of the ways we cannot be like children? Well, first of all, children, you know, they're apt to get carried about with every wind of doctrine. You can trick a child so easily, especially a young child. I mean, Josiah's a little older now, but when he was a little smaller, if I were to go home and tell him that I saw a purple dinosaur with wings on my way home, he probably would have said, wow, Daddy, that's really cool. Can you take me and show me? So he would have believed it, right? Not now. He's smarter than that. He's growing up, right? But children can be tricked very easily and carried away with stuff. We're not to be like that. But unfortunately, there are some who get carried about with every wind of doctrine. And the internet and the things that are... Facebook has made that so much easier. I mean, I'm thankful for technology because we can get on it and we can present the truth. But guess what? Everybody else can throw stuff out there too. And man, there's people that get on there and they write about with every little thing. And it gets tiring sometimes. I got people telling me, oh yeah, have you looked at this argument that the earth is flat and this and that? And I'm thinking, man, what's going on? Every wind of doctrine. You see, if you keep going back up there in Ephesians 4, it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, one of the main purposes of pastor, church, is so that we might grow, so that we don't get carried away with every wind of doctrine. But it's not just the pastors who have to watch for this sort of thing. In Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, they searched the scriptures daily. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Because here's the thing. The opposite of love for the truth isn't necessarily hatred for the truth. It's apathy. I don't care. And some people are like that. Come to church. Sit down for a few minutes. And then leave. Not paying attention to what's being preached. Not caring what's being preached. Maybe even sleeping through the message. I've seen it in some churches. And the pastor's preaching some crazy stuff too. Because I've heard it on sermon audio. And half the church ain't even paying attention to what's going on. Apathy. Apathy. Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, the Bible, our only rule of faith and practice. That's what we should want. That's what we should demand is preached from this pulpit. That's what we should demand is practiced in this church. Now, there's some things that we can't look for in the scriptures that God has given us liberty for. And when we talk about carpet or curtains, there's no scripture that tells us what color they should be. But let me tell you, when we go to observe the Lord's Supper, you better believe There's a pattern in here. There's an order. When we go to preach, the people that we have to stand behind this pulpit, there's an order. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So I kind of bring this to a close. Told you I wouldn't keep you too long. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There's some things we're to shun. You know, when I think of shunnings, I think of the old Amish. We had a lot of them in Ohio. When someone left the Amish community, even though they had been born in the Amish community, even though they had family in the Amish community, that Amish community shunned them. They had nothing to do with them. That's tough to think about. Your own parents have nothing to do with you. Your own friends have nothing to do with you. I mean, basically, your old way of life, those people are done with you. It's a pretty serious thing. And he says, shun profane and vain babblings. There's some vain and profane babblings out there in this world. And sometimes we just have to say, enough is enough. Sometimes it might be a good friend. Sometimes it might be someone that we really have enjoyed talking to before, but they might get on a subject that we just got to say, look, enough is enough. We won't take the time to look at it today, but I mean, the Bible tells us that a man is a heretic after a time, we're to reject him. And I believe that sometimes they might end up in the pulpit, sometimes they might end up on our telephone, sometimes they might end up in our couch or living room. We got to shun that stuff. Say, hey, get out of here. Let's move on to another subject, or it's time for you to leave. Sometimes it might be on the TV. That's the easy part. Turn it off. You see. Let us be true Baptists. In doing so, let us remain true to our allegiance to the Scriptures in all manner of faith and practice. If someone asks us what we believe, let's not say, well, I believe this because the preacher said so. Or I believe this because my dad said it. Or because we've always believed it. Let it be because thus saith the Lord. That's the reason why we believe it. May God add a blessing to his word. Let's stand to be dismissed, and I'll have Brother Barry, would you please close us in prayer?